Hi there, and thanks for joining us. My name is Justin Dudney, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Life Church in beautiful British Columbia. We're so blessed to live in the Fraser Valley where we can see God and his creation on a daily basis. In his word, in Romans 1:20, we read, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen and being understood from what he has made." We can see God on a daily basis in creation. And as we enter into summertime, I want to encourage you to be looking for God in creation on a daily basis and have that as your perspective. Awesome. If you're new to church or you're joining us for the first time, thanks so much for being a part of our service. We want to encourage you to go to our website where you can find out all about New Life, our ministries, and how to get connected. We hope that as a part of being a part of our service here, that you experience the presence of God and feel tighter into a community of believers. I want to say a special shout out to all you fathers out there and spiritual fathers. Happy Father's Day to you. Thank you so much for raising up this generation and the generation come to love and live like Jesus Christ. Keep up the good work and have an amazing day. As always, we're going to spend time in worship, and we're so thankful to have Sam, Marvin, Annalise, and Gabe leading us today in worship. Let's join them.
Be loved. to express our love for Jesus. That's why we've gathered here together. So a very warm welcome to you all. If you've not been to New Life Church before, and you're perhaps joining us for the first time, then a special welcome to you. And we want this worship to be an opportunity for us to all experience the transforming love of Jesus. And so we trust and pray that that indeed will be the case. As we continue our worship, I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. One is, has already been mentioned, it's Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all you dads. If you got a Father's Day gift bag from New Life Church, in it was a dad joke, and I know you've got it. So we want to encourage you to share that dad joke with us on Facebook or Instagram. The tag is on the lower left corner of your screen. So we encourage you to do that. We want to hear your joke. We want to laugh. We need to laugh. And we promise, we'll even laugh even if we don't get the joke. Second, we have a church parade coming up. So next Sunday, June 28, we're inviting all of you into a celebration of the New Life ministry season that concludes at the end of this month. We want you to drive through the parking lot sometime between 11 in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so a two-hour window, and we'll have ministry booths set up with ministry leaders there to greet you, and you can express your thanks for the ministry that has been accomplished through them. We have treats, we have prizes for you. You don't want to miss the grand prize, which will be awarded to the family or to the person who drives through with the best decorated vehicle. So those are the announcements. Now it's time for our offering. We rejoice together as we worship in God's faithfulness with our offerings. And those offerings are expressions of our love and our thanks to God for all that he has done. So if you're able to give, we are receiving the offering for the Benevolent Fund, which is a fund that's administered by the deacons of New Life Church, and for the to help people with physical and financial needs. And by the way, if you are, particularly in this time, struggling financially, or if you need help, if you just need somebody to walk alongside of you with some help, then please contact us, and we want to be able to extend the love, the care, and the mercy of our God to one another. We have several ways to give. Let me list those a minute. You can send money right now by e-transfer by using your online banking. You can also give to New Life Church online through our website. Or if you have our New Life app, you can click on the Give tab there. Or you can even text to give, and that number should be on the lower left-hand corner of your screen as well. And finally, you can also give simply by coming to the church during regular weekday office hours and drop off a check if you would like. So let's take this time to pray for the offering. Join with me in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to worship together. Thank you for your presence in our lives, for your amazing love and mercy in our lives, and for your incredible provision. God, we're so grateful, and we pray that you'll receive these offerings as tokens of our love for you and of our thanksgiving. We pray too, Father, for those who are struggling, and we pray, God, that you will provide opportunity for us to be able to share all that you have given to us with one another. And so, Father, we just lift up New Life Church to you. We pray that you will continue to guide us, lead us, especially through this difficult time. And we pray, God, that in everything we may bring honor and glory to your name. We love you. And so we pray especially for people who need you in special ways. We pray for those who are struggling, those who are sick. We pray for healing for them. We pray for your comfort and strength. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if your children are sitting with you during this worship time, we'd like to invite them into a special worship time prepared for them. It's a separate video with an activity sheet that you can access on our website, newlifecrc.ca, or just below in this video, YouTube video, in the description below. So inside that video as well, Pastor Sam indicates that there is opportunity for your children to win a weekly prize. And so perhaps you'll want to ask them about that and perhaps be able to help them with the challenge that's presented to them. You can set your kids up now if you would like, and we'll move into the message section of our worship service. But go ahead and hit pause and we will wait for you. All right now. Well, one other thing. At the Ministry Celebration Parade next Sunday, there's going to be a booth there for Pastor Kuhn, and it'll be at the end of the parade, and that will be your opportunity to express your thanks and appreciation for the years of service that Kuhn has given to New Life and its ministry. For over 16 years, Kuhn has been the youth pastor and pastor of faith formation here at New Life. And we want to extend just a tremendous amount of thanks for Kuhn's work here. He and his family will remain at New Life, so this is not a farewell. But he is moving on to a new position at Abbotsford Christian School, and so he'll no longer be in a staff position here at New Life Church. For me, Kuhn has been a tremendous ministry partner, a wonderful encourager, and yes, a crazy inspiration. But it's been so wonderful to work with him. I'm so thankful to have been able to share ministry with him. I've admired his passion for building relationships with young people of our church and to see faith blossom in them. I've also just benefited tremendously from Kuhn's enthusiasm to share in some of the preaching duties. When Kuhn has preached, I've always been completely confident that you will hear a word from God because of Kuhn's tremendous respect and love for Scripture, and his love for Jesus and his love for the church also has been, and I trust will continue to be, invigorating for us all. So thank you, Kuhn, from the bottom of our hearts for your faithful ministry. And as Kuhn comes to bring the word of God to us this morning, I invite you to pray with me for Kuhn. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your faithful servant, Kuhn. And we pray, God, that you will bless him now as he brings your word, and that you will bless him in the days, weeks, and months, and years ahead as he carries on in a new role. Thank you, Father, for the gifts you have given him, for the opportunities for ministry that you've given him here at New Life Church. Thank you for his faithfulness and for all of the love that he has extended into this congregation through his work here as youth pastor. And so, Father, we just pray for a blessing upon him. Anoint him with your spirit as he continues to do your will. And may all the honor and glory go to you, because you are a great God. You've created Kuhn, and you've blessed him. And so we pray for him and for his family. Continue to bless them, guide them, and lead them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, and happy Father's Day. Well, here we are. It is kind of surreal and strange to be knowing that this is the last sermon I'm preaching as a New Life staff member. Today, I was encouraged by Pastor Nathan to reflect on the last 16 and a half years that I've served at New Life Church. So I'm going to take you back for a moment to the very beginning. My wife and I had been attending New Life for quite some time before I came on staff. And I remember in the hiring process thinking to myself that I didn't think that I would get hired. And the reason I thought that is because the board had said to the congregation that they wouldn't consider hiring anyone that didn't have a youth ministry education background, which I didn't. My degree was in criminal justice. And so I decided as I went into the interview to take a little bit of a different approach and to make my interview stand out in such a way that would make the hiring team curious about my strengths and what I would bring to ministry. So here's what I did. The hiring team asked me to come prepared to speak about three areas of my life. First, my life in my formative years growing up, my childhood, my adolescence. Second thing they wanted me to talk about was my faith-forming experiences that formed my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The third area they wanted me to speak about was my vision for youth ministry. So here's what I did. I showed up at the interview dressed as my mom, wearing a skirt business suit complete with wig, because who better to brag about their child, their son, and their growing up years than someone's mother? So I proceeded as my mother to share some of the formative years of my life, what made Coonrad into the person that he was. And then my mom left. I got changed in that bathroom over there. And I changed into a business suit and had a real big Bible underneath my arm. And I pretended I was a strict, staunch, Dutch Reformed pastor. And I came into the interview room as the Bugelink's pastor. And I proceeded to lay out some of the faith-forming milestones and highlights of Coonrad's growing years in the faith and his appreciation, his love for the church. Then my pastor left, and then I returned and shared my vision for youth ministry. Today, as I stand before you, finishing my journey as a pastor and a youth pastor on staff at New Life, I want to share the same vision that I had for youth ministry 16 and a half years ago. This is an intergenerational message, and intergenerational approach to ministry has been a big passion that God has laid on my heart. So this message is as much for a one-year-old as it is for a 101-year-old. So I'd like to read this morning from a text that has often guided me in understanding what faith formation should look like in a Christian community. And it comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's called Living Sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Anytime we encounter the word therefore, we have to recognize that Paul is referencing everything that's come before Romans chapter 12. And in chapters 1 through 11, Paul reminds the church in Rome, the community of Christians in Rome, about God's mercy, his gift of salvation, the mystery that is this reality that God redeems both the Gentiles and the Jews. Mercy, good news, salvation, an incredible gift. And so that's what's happening as he reminds us of these two powerful verses. The first thing I want us to observe this morning is this idea of reframing worship. Even after 16 and a half years of ministry in the church, I confess that I still don't really understand the modern church's idea of worship. And particularly, I don't really understand the music part. Maybe it's because I failed recorder in grade 7. And I don't really have a musical bone in my body. The only thing I can play is Spotify. And even then, my choice in music is highly suspect. As a teenager, I enjoyed bagpipe music and rap music. Those are really strange tastes in music. Recently, I Googled bagpipe rap music. It actually exists. I don't recommend you waste any time on it because it's completely horrible. But that kind of gives you my background in music. Now that I'm stepping down from ministry at New Life, I'm sure our worship leaders will have it a bit easier. I'm sure they were tired of coming to me on the weeks that I was preaching on Sunday, asking me, Coonrad, do you have any advice for songs that we should be singing on Sunday? And I'd typically respond in this kind of way. Oof, yeah. That's a good question. I'm not sure, but we should probably sing songs about Jesus. Yeah, that's perhaps not the helpful thing to say to a worship leader. But I think this way because music is not predominantly the way that I have experienced worship. And that's what I love about this verse. For me, this verse 1 conjures up in my mind an image of actually, literally climbing up onto the altar of sacrifice, offering one's whole self as an act of worship, offering the entire self as a worshiper and not just my voice or my lack of musicality. That place of worship for me can just as easily be on a hiking path next to a lake, in the shadow of mountains, in a valley. On my mountain bike, down single track, down a steep section with some exposed roots, or on a steep couloir on a mountain on a set of skis with moguls that are bigger than me. And that's where I feel my vulnerability and the bigness of God. It's in these moments I experience the realness of offering my praise and adoration to God. And because of this, I've always struggled in putting worship services together, even though that's what we do all the time in ministry. When I'm planning a worship night for youth, the very first thing I give away is the music part. And so I've just so appreciated walking alongside some gifted musicians in the 16 and a half years that I've been on staff here. And even in my journey of tension with music, God has still developed some awesome musicians through our youth ministry that still go on to serve in our worship teams on our Sunday mornings. They've led at retreats and many other settings, and I'm so grateful that because of that tension that I have, that it hasn't left a hole in ministry here. One of my favorite worship memories at New Life is when Eric Bomhoff and John Van Dyke hauled their guitars up to the top of Sun Peaks during a ski retreat. We had some church up in the Alpine on a beautiful bluebird day. We just had a fresh dump of snow, and we were singing God's praises together in community. Oh, so good. It was moments like this that bring me to this Romans 12, verse 1 reality, this climb up on the altar with your whole being, your skills, your talents, your passions, your personality, your failures, your shortcomings, offering our whole self to God. And as a youth group, we've always tried to think expansively about worship. We worshiped with music and then at the same time included stations where we would worship with art, using paint or markers. We wrote prophetic encouragements on sticky notes that we placed on the wall. We had opportunities to come before the Lord and confess our sins. We had opportunities using an atlas and push pins to pray as God would direct us for people all around the world. We'd light candles as God reminded us to intercede for people that we loved. I remember that even in a worship service with our youth, we spent time just taking a nap, just resting the week of exams as an act of worship. One of the most amazing gifts that we've been able to give God in youth ministry is the gift of play. I've never been the youth guy that tried to manipulate play to make a theological teaching point at the end of a youth night. So for many years, we've had messy games night at the end of the ministry year where we have shaving cream fights and just get messy. And it's just not me to say to students at the end, just like we've experienced messiness today, God is in the business of redeeming our mess. I've just used play as a way to give God glory in the midst of our youthfulness. To use play to build relationships, and those relationships would often lead to encounters with Jesus Christ or his Holy Spirit, which would then begin a process of life transformation. I realized a few years into ministry that a day of skiing with students or a weekend of retreating with students provided so many more spiritual connections and points of relationship connection than would ever happen with a random check-in with your youth pastor. Though I could never master any musical instrument, play is the instrument that God enabled me to learn over the course of 16 and a half years in ministry. My vision for us as a church passionately ministering to children and youth is that we would never stop learning and relearning how to get up onto the altar and give our whole self to the Lord as an offering of thanks for what he has done and continues to do in our life. The second thing I want us to focus on this morning is this process of being transformed by the renewing of our minds. When I started at New Life Church, the learning curve was steep. I never really knew how little I knew until I started in ministry. And oh, New Life, you were very patient and gracious with me. You were gracious when I did the weird things like riding my bike down the auditorium stairs during a Mexico service. That Sunday where I hid myself in the baptismal tank in order to talk about Jonah. When I billy-bobbed my way through announcements, when I learned ventriloquism instead of Greek or Hebrew. But I've had hard moments of learning, or perhaps jolting moments of learning. I remember a moment when I was in a theology class at seminary. And the professor was talking about how preachers can sometimes take a text out of context and preach it incorrectly. And he used an example, he used a text as an example. And as he was telling the example, I realized that I had done that very thing. I had incorrectly preached a text here at New Life Church. I was filled with remorse because I hated the idea that I'd read something into the text that wasn't there. I spoke to my professor after class, and he could sense my panic. He told me that it was common and to use this moment to be aware that I was not responsible for what I'd done in the past, that I'd just to deal with that, but that I am responsible for what I know now. And from this point going forward, I had to use that responsibility and that awareness to change how I acted. And since that time, I've made sure to diligently do the work of interpretation and interpreting a text well. And for a season after that moment, I had asked members of the congregation to preview and critique my sermons until I began to feel more comfortable with practicing proper exegesis. But it took a moment of being willing to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And the reason I knew I needed a transformed mind is that, like everyone else on this earth, I was conforming to patterns in this world. In the example I noted, the pattern that I was closely conforming to was a pattern of the prosperity gospel. That's a kind of gospel that is preached that suggests that once you accept Christ into your life suddenly becomes a wonderific train ride into glory. And that is not the truth of the gospel. And I realized in that moment that I had preached that kind of prosperity gospel. I've had transformative moments like that over and over again in the last 16 and a half years. And I remember taking students with me on that journey. I remember one Christmas talking to our youth about the fact that Jesus Christ could very well have been born in a house in Bethlehem and not the picture of the nativity, like the barn, because archaeologists had uncovered in first century Palestinian homes that mangers were on the basement floor or the main floor of a house. And so we were discussing this as a youth ministry afterwards, what that might mean for us today, what that might mean for how we think about Christmas. And then a student shot up their hand and said, "But Pastor Kuhn, didn't you say 2 years ago that Jesus could very well have been born in a cave as well? So now what? Which one is true?" And in my response to that student, I mentioned that we have to keep learning as much as we can about the context, the setting, and the history of the people of the Bible in order to better understand what that means for us today, to continually be renewed, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's a continual process over and over again. Why? Because the world is always projecting a pattern onto us. So let me give you an example of how I've had to experience this week, or how I've been led into this process of being transformed by the renewing of my mind. There are patterns in this world. I encountered them in the last number of weeks. In the last few weeks, I learned through social media that I'm considered a liberal for declaring Black Lives Matter. And the same day on social media, I'm realizing that I am considered an ignorant conservative because I think it's foolish to jump on the defund police bandwagon. You see, political spectrums are the patterns of the world. They are worldly patterns. And the biblical pattern is a pursuit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ includes a pursuit of justice. And in the last number of weeks, God has been transforming my mind in this way. You see, we are in a wild moment in the history of Christianity. We are literally locked out of our buildings, or at least in the way that we would prefer to gather. I'm longing. It's been hard for me. I'm longing to be together, united with you again, where we can open up the scriptures together, where we can even sing together. Isn't that crazy, that tension that I have with music? But the thing that I miss now is being able to sing together. I'm living that. We want our worship gatherings back, and in many states in the U.S., they've protested for their right to assemble peacefully in religious assemblies. That's what I want. And yet, when I read Amos chapter 5, I read that on the day of the Lord, he says to his people, he says to us, "I despise your religious feasts, your assemblies. Away with the noise of your songs." But that's what we want. We want to come together and we want to sing. And he says, "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." You see, those are not the words of Martin Luther King Jr., who was very quickly being labeled as a social justice warrior. Those are not his words. Those are gospel words. A call for justice that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So yes, there is some discomfort when we as Christians have to stand in the middle of shifting patterns. And that's what I hope we will continue to do for our children and youth at New Life Church, to stand in the gap, to stand in the now and the not yet in this space and declare with our hurting members from different ethnicities who we just welcomed as members into our congregation last week that yes, racial injustice exists. And yes, it must be met with the good news of Jesus Christ and not our left or right political ideologies that we might prefer. It's not easy. And it requires a willingness to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, a deeper yearning for the truth of the gospel as laid out in the story that God has unfolded from Genesis to Revelation and throughout Christian history, even in those moments when we didn't get it right in Christian history. He is our rescuer, Jesus Christ. He is our children's rescuer. Let's continue as a community to be steadfast in our desire to be transformed by the renewal of our minds so that we can, thirdly and finally, pursue God's will. God's will. To say that as if it was easy. You can ask any grade 11 or 12 student in our youth ministry how easy that is to determine in a world that is so rapidly changing. Even pre-COVID, if you asked a grade 11 or grade 12 student what their plan was after high school or next year, for many of them, it incites an anxiety or an anxiousness. Why? Because of God's will. See, I think as a church community, on the one hand, we've done a marvelous job instilling in the next generation a desire to pursue God's will. That's an awesome desire that many youth at New Life legitimately have. And yet at the same time, I think maybe we can do a better job of helping them figure out exactly what God's will is. And yeah, even the way I said that makes it sound perhaps maybe a bit obnoxious. It's as if I'm suggesting that we can know God's will, which we can. We can know God's will. Why? Because it's here. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your whole self, your whole entire being. Place it on the altar for the Lord. And his second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. It's in here. We can know the will of God. It's literally that simple. And at the same time, it can be complex. On the one hand, yes, it frees us to take a chance to go to this or that college or to take this or that job. But on the other hand, each of those places provides different challenges and different opportunities to live out those two great commandments. In some places, it's going to be difficult to love God and love others. In other places, it's going to be easy to love God and to love others. But God does not call us to easy or to hard, but to love him and to love others no matter what? And here's where I want to speak to youth specifically. Life is hard. You are going to experience moments in this life, periods in your life, where it in fact is very, very hard. You will fail. You will have setbacks. And you will not be able to avoid them. But God. But God is greater than any of our failures, any of our setbacks, any of the realities of sin and brokenness that may impact our life. So because you will hardly be able to avoid these realities, I caution you against pursuing what is easy and comfortable, because you have those choices before you. Instead, learn to place your trust in Jesus Christ early and often. He does not leave you. He does not forsake you. You are His. You are loved. In Jesus Christ, you can place your trust. How do I know that? How do we know that? How do we have certainty? In His word, truth. This is God's gift to us, His revelation. His will is revealed in Scripture. And I know that because of this place. It doesn't work very well during a virtual service when you're not gathered here to point out the community that normally attends here. But God places us in community. At New Life, we are surrounded by those that have lived longer than us. Listen, youth, while you are discerning God's will, do not pull a Rehoboam. He's the dumb, dumb king who only consulted his young buddies that he grew up with. He dismissed the wisdom of the elders in favor for the easier path and the easier choice, which led to his and Israel's fall. To dismiss intergenerational wisdom today is folly. Even though the world and its pattern would suggest that you should distrust anyone that doesn't have an Instagram account. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind in godly community. The people of New Life Church have walked roads that you will have to walk. They have endured pain similar to the pain that you will have to endure. They have also celebrated victories and celebrated achievements similar to the celebrations and the achievements that you will experience. And they've done so all the while trusting that God would be faithful. It wasn't easy for them, and it won't be easy for you. But you can learn from their stories. We can learn from one another's stories. This is why I love the church, capital C, and why I love New Life Church, small c. Because through all of our story, that's the Bugle Inc. journey, God has used this community, these people, to help us pursue God's will for our lives. Through infertility, through miscarriage, our adoption highs, our adoption lows, our ministry highs that we experienced, our ministry lows, difficult relationships, et cetera, et cetera. The people of this community held faith with us that God was not finished yet, and had something in store for us that we had not yet imagined or even been capable of planning for ourselves. O New Life, God is good. Life is not easy, but God is good. Let me leave you with this final thought from the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. As our family steps into a new adventure, we will trust God, and we will continue to lean on you, our faith family. Though our connections here will be different, we are excited to continue as brothers and sisters in the faith here at New Life Church. I cannot thank you enough as a community for being an incredibly generous and gracious community and congregation. allowing Christine and I and our family to experience the rich blessing in serving one congregation, which was our home congregation, and will continue to be our congregation. Thank you for allowing me to have a positive ministry experience, an incredible ministry experience for 16 and a half years. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are good and that you give the church this image of laying our lives on the altar, of offering our entire selves, every aspect of who you've created us to be, to lay that down at your feet as an act of sacrifice, as an act of thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, and your incredible gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities that are before us as a community of Christ, as your children, to live out justice in this world. Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, make us aware of patterns of this world. Lord, build in us a desire to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, regardless of what age or stage of life we are at. Lord, for those of us who are older and perhaps even more entrenched in lines of thinking, may we hold our patterns before you so that you can still transform us by the renewal of our minds. Lord, for those of us in the early stages of life, as we are young, enable us, Lord, in a community like New Life Church to see the wisdom that is represented intergenerationally. Lord, bring us in each day into closer contact with those who have lived experiences that we can learn from. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the church. Thank you, Lord, for New Life Church and for 16 and a half amazing years that I've been able to learn and grow and lead. Lord, you are so good. We thank you. Thank you for creating us to be the people that we are. And thank you for the unique calling that you have placed on each person's life. You are so good, God. In your name we pray. And everybody together said, amen. Receive God's blessing this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. And all of God's children said, amen. Happy Father's Day and have a great Sunday. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. Last thing I need is to be.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Have a great week.